Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
Our program today is we see the book of Hebrews as an exposition of Leviticus. Here with us to help us enjoy this marvelous program is Francis Ball. Francis, it's always a real pleasure for me to have you in the studio. Thanks for coming.
It's a pleasure to me, too, to be here.
Francis, today we're going to connect in a very definite way this Old Testament book of Leviticus that we've been enjoying now for several weeks with the New Testament book of Hebrews. Let's look at a couple of verses from Hebrews. For those who have been with us during this life study of Leviticus, I think they'll have a new appreciation of such a New Testament portion. In chapter 9, verses 11 through 14, it says, "But Christ, not through the blood of goats and calves, but through his own blood, entered once for all into the Holy of Holies, obtaining an eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling those who are defiled, sanctifies to the purity of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" Francis, maybe you could give us a brief background as to just how Hebrews is an exposition of Leviticus.
I believe, Chris, if we were just left with the book of Leviticus, we would certainly be stuck with a lot of physical animals, offerings, combinations of foods and things like this.
Right.
Very mysterious, and we wouldn't know how to apply them. And this is true of the Bible as a whole. So much of it, you just can't understand. But there is a way for it to be opened up to us. And the writers of the New Testament opened up these Old Testament books to us in a very wonderful way, particularly this book of Hebrews, really gives us a lot of light on Leviticus about goats and calves and rams and and the different offerings, the meal offerings. All of these offerings are explained to us and made real to us. They're not just things of history, although they are that in Leviticus. Yet the New Testament explanation of those things makes it real to us in our Christian life.
That's really the key, to study the Bible. Let the Bible interpret the Bible. The best exposition of Leviticus is really the New Testament book of Hebrews. And
that's
our point today. Let's join Witness Lee for the first portion.
We know, if we read carefully, that the book of Hebrews is a kind of exposition of the book of Leviticus. In the book of Leviticus itself, we cannot see how much and how great, how excellent, how wonderful, how all-inclusive, and how inexhaustible this Christ, which we offer and enjoy as all kind offerings. You just read the book of Leviticus, you could see my just the burnt offering, meal offering, peace offering, sin offering, and trespass offerings. Then after the teaching, you got to know all these offerings typify Christ. In other words, in the New Testament term, Christ is every kind of the 5 offerings. That's all. But you do not have the sensation or the kind of realization that this Christ, who is all the offerings to us, is too great, too excellent, too all-inclusive. He's altogether inexhaustible. No word can express his greatness. Who is he? Okay, say in chapter 1, verses 2 and 3 of Hebrews, we could see he is the what? Maker of the whole universe. He is the creator. the maker of all the universe, and he's also the upholder of the present universe. All the universe, the solar system and this system and that kind of system, are now just under his upholding. He's too great. And he's also the appointed heir of the universe. He is also so wonderful. He is a very, what? Influence of God's glory. And he is the impressed image of God's substance. Just think about it. How wonderful.
Francis, he mentioned the very first opening verses in Hebrews, and this book, maybe more than any other in the Bible, opens in this magnificent way, presenting such a Christ, the effulgence of God's glory, and all of these high, rich expressions. Yet this Christ that's being described in Hebrews is the one that is the reality of all of the offerings that appear in Leviticus. It's really marvelous, isn't it, to see these two connected?
It certainly is marvelous. Even just these few items that he points out here in just the first couple of verses in Hebrews, he's already talking so much about what Christ is, as viewed in this exposition, like the Creator, the appointed heir. He's the effulgence of God's glory. He's the very impress of God's substance. My, these are marvelous terms. And to see how this is really bringing Christ to us, not in the way of just looking back at those figures and types in the Old Testament, but realizing that that means Christ is everything to us in this aspect.
And to realize also that these offerings bring us into contact with the one that's being described here. And he is the reality of the offerings. He's really the Alpha and the Omega, which shows up, of course, in Revelation.
That's the real secret, I think, of getting the real meat out of this book, is to see all those things that were pictured to us in Leviticus are really Christ himself, to be experienced by us and be enjoyed by us. And not only in these couple of verses here in chapter 1, Chris, but he goes on to point out how Christ is the one who partook of blood and flesh, which means that he really became a man. And he came among us. And as a man, he destroyed the devil, Satan. And so many points of what's typified in that book in Leviticus are brought out here in a real, thorough, and spiritual, and marvelous experiential way in the book of Hebrews. He's the apostle that was sent from God. And he's spoken of as a high priest. Christ is our real high priest. And he's the forerunner. In this book, he's everything. He's a minister in the heavens, and he also obtained an eternal salvation or redemption for us. In the Old Testament, of course, there's that picture, but you don't get the reality of what it is and the fact that it's eternal until you see Christ is all of these matters that are pictured in the Old Testament.
Francis, we read a couple of verses from chapter 9. We've now been talking about chapter 1 in Hebrews. In this coming portion, we're going to chapter 10. Let me just read one quick verse as an introduction to this next portion. In verse 5, Francis, "Therefore, coming into the world, he says, 'Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me.'" This body that was prepared for Jesus Christ, the Son of the very God, we're going to see as the fulfillment and the reality of all the offerings from Leviticus. Let's go back to Witness Lee.
In chapter 10, in this book, book of Hebrews, this is too big a chapter. In this chapter, in expounding the book of Leviticus, Paul says, when Christ came, God had no more interest, no more desire, no more pleasure in all those cattle offerings. He's coming annuls all the offerings in the book of Leviticus. As he has come, God has no more interest, pleasure in the Levitical offerings. Then Paul says, Christ came, that God has prepared a body for him. For him to be what? For him to be the replacement of all the offerings of the first covenant. This means he did the will of God. And the will of God here is unique. what the will of God. That is, to take away the first and to establish the second. What is the first? Whatever in the Old Testament is the first. And whatever here in the New Testament is the second. In the Old Testament, we have the Levitical burnt offering, meal offering, peace offering, trespass offering, sin offering, and all other kind of offerings, wave offering, heave offering. Christ is the replacement of all those offerings. Those offerings are counted as the first. When Christ came, God lost his pleasure and interest and desire in those first offerings. And Christ, as a replacement, has established himself as the second kind of burnt offering, the second kind of meal offering, the second kind of peace offering, sin offering, and trespass offering. Anyhow, the first category of the Levitical offerings all have been replaced. You have to realize, Hebrew saints, God, since Christ came, has lost his interest. God has no more taste in those cattle, in the bull, in the sheep, in the goat, ram, and so forth. God has no more interest, no more pleasure and desire in that. God desires today, and his pleasure is only this one person, by the name Jesus Christ.
Francis, I love his utterance here. He's pointing out that in this book of Hebrews, again and again, we see that God has lost his taste for all of these physical offerings, the cattle and the sheep and the rams and the turtle doves and all of those things. But instead, God has prepared a body for Christ that he could be both the reality and really the ultimate replacement for all these offerings. This view from Leviticus and Hebrews, when joined together, it really gives us another level of appreciation for Christ, doesn't it?
My, it really does, Chris. I marvel at this, even though I've heard this earlier and I've read in Hebrews quite a bit. But there's something fresh about this that really raises your appreciation of Christ.
Yeah.
Even Christ himself in Hebrews is quoted as having said, "I have come to do your will, O God." He said, "Sacrifices and offerings and burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin you did not desire nor delight in." As you said, he lost the taste
right
for those physical things which are offered according to the law. He then said, "Behold, I have come to do your will." So he takes away the first, as Brother Lee pointed out, to establish the second. And we've been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. So there's something eternal, not only something so uplifted, but there's something eternal brought out here. All those offerings were a picture, but the reality is Christ himself in his body. He came to offer himself in his body that we might be sanctified, we might be eternally redeemed.
You know, Francis, it's one thing to realize that God took away the Old Testament offerings. I think a lot of believers have the understanding that, well, that was the dispensation in the Old Testament, but we have nothing to do with that dispensation. Now there's a whole new arrangement. And in a sense, that's true. But in another sense, it's not just that he removed the Old Testament offerings, but Christ has become the reality and the fulfillment of them. So the offerings, as they're applied in the New Testament, is all in this realm. The reality, the fulfillment, not just that God did away with sacrifices and offerings, but his taste has changed for the nature of the offering, right?
Right. This is our portion in this age, to be able to enjoy the reality of all those things that were types and were very important at the time. But now we have the reality.
Francis, in this final section, Witness Lee is going to refer to something we touched very early on in the life study of Leviticus, and that is that the word in Hebrew for offering is korban, which means literally gift. And that's important when we get into this final section.
It's too wonderful, such a Christ. He is our eternal portion for us to what? For us to enjoy. Isn't this wonderful? For us to enjoy, not just for us to offer to God as some offering, but for us to enjoy in our offering to God. And we can, in this offering to God, enjoy this Christ with God. Firstly, Christ was a gift given to us by God. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten. So he was a gift from God to us. But you have to realize in the offerings, he is the gift we offer to God. You know, this word offering in Hebrew means korban. That means a gift, a present. This is our present to God. Could you give God such a present? You tell me, what kind of present could be bigger, greater than this present? Do you know how many facets our present to God has? Christ has millions. From this facet, look at him, he is a person, a man. From the other, you look, Mahayo, he's God the Father. My goodness. From another one, you look, oh, he's God the Son. Too many aspects. All these are considered by our God as our present to him. And this is for what, you know? This is for our worship to God. And this is also for our fellowship with God. And this should be also our fellowship one another. Not only so, this has to be our kind of what, eating for our daily living. It's far, far beyond what we can understand and what we can speak of. This is the central thought of this book of Leviticus. The central thought of this book is that this universal, all-inclusive, inexhaustible Christ is everything to God and his people.
Wow.
I have to echo that. Wow. Yeah.
Francis, what kind of a realization is this? That the very Christ that God has given to us, and he used John 3:16 here to point this out, this well-known verse, but this one becomes the unique offering or gift that we can present back to God. And in the mutual exchange, this mutual gift-giving, we both are satisfied, and there's a full and rich enjoyment for everyone. What can we say about this, Francis?
I don't know what to say about this, but there is a lot here. Because this gift that God has given to us is now the Spirit who is in us. And by experiencing him in our spirit, day by day, in this way in which he's given Christ to us, now we can experience him and offer him up in all these different kinds of ways that are depicted or they're typified in Leviticus, but they're really made real to us in the book of Hebrews. And our experience is that we enjoy Christ in so many ways in all these offerings. We enjoy him as our meal offering, our burnt offering, our peace offering. Oh, in every way, we can just enjoy him by exercising our spirit with the Word of God and with the fellowship of the believers, and mainly with the fellowship of God himself, the great giver of this gift. And then we have Christ in our experience to offer up to God. And this is really the way, I would say, of enjoying God with Christ, enjoying Christ with one another, and really realizing that we really have such a mutual enjoyment with God in this marvelous Christ.
Francis, we've got a couple of minutes left. Let's try to make a practical application of what it is to offer Christ back to God for the sake of our listeners who maybe are just getting acquainted with this kind of life study that we're seeing in Leviticus, touching these Old Testament things and seeing the reality of them in our New Testament experience. But it comes to mind, we touched a little bit yesterday in our program, that when we first came to Christ, when we prayed and realized that we were sinful and that Christ had become the one who could forgive our sins by satisfying God, we were experiencing the reality of the sin offering and the trespass offering without ever knowing it.
Right.
Sometimes we come to pray and we may have just a sense that we are very short and very deficient as we approach God's presence. What's our need then, Francis, in the realm of, in the aspect of these offerings?
Well, we surely need Him. Maybe you're referring to the meal offering.
Right.
For example, because we enjoy the humanity of Jesus and we realize that our humanity is short, it's weak, it's sinful, but we have one living in us who is everything to us. And the more we enjoy His human living, the more we have this release from our weaknesses, our failures, and we realize that God is pleased with our offering up of Christ as the one we can live by in our daily life.
If we contrast this response, this kind of reaction, being able to offer Christ by enjoying Him, and contrast that with what we often do is many times try to figure out, well, I will somehow try to be better and do better, so next time when I come to God, I won't feel so bad. This is really liberation, isn't it?
That's right. We really do get liberated by this kind of understanding, realization, and experience of Christ as the one in us who is pleasing to God. No matter we do improve, it's still not Christ. But if we take Him, and we take Him as our offerings, whether we understand that so much or not, if we practice that, we'll find this is the reality.
Mm. We're starting to get calls day by day now, Francis, from listeners around the country and that are just realizing how magnificent this book of Leviticus has become in their own experience, touching a lot of these things that are obscure and not that well known, but day by day, the light is shining and the reality of these things are coming more and more into view. We got a call today from a lady in Texas who was just ecstatic when she realized what was here. She thought, or I think she said something like, I never would have imagined I'd be calling you to ask for a set of these life studies of Leviticus. But she said, I just can't tell you what this has meant to me each day to see these things opened up to me. That's very satisfying on our end, isn't it, Francis, to get such a report?
Very much. And we hope many of the listeners will get these actual copies of the portions of the Leviticus life studies.
Francis, thank you for your help today.
Thank you.
For Francis Ball, I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you for listening today.